I've actually had with mosquitoes or any other insects when they did some kind of kind of disease control to create new viruses and whatnot.
Absolutely. And I mean, they've been talking about this for a while, especially when the Zika virus came out. So many people were dying from that, so they were saying before it became a, epidemic, they were going to develop these mosquitoes. And they're basically a genetically modified mosquito in which the team is called the Asian tiger mosquito. And these mosquitoes are infected with a bug-killing bacteria called Wolbachia. And all of the mosquitoes which are released are male. It's hoped that they will originally mate with females in the wild and then basically destroy their fertilized eggs with their bacterial-induced defects. But again, you think that if it's not like that these males are only going to go and look for people. What if these same mosquitoes, they say bite you and they've got this bacteria in them? Is the bacteria only going to be in their semen, or would it be in them genetically? And if that's the case, if they bite somebody, could they give them some kind of, bacteria infection or some disease that, humans aren't supposed to get? I mean, we've never even seen any of the research of how it's actually going to work or anything. They just put it out and just say, oh, this is how we're going to defeat the Zika virus. And it's just like nobody even questions. It's like they're robots. They're like, oh, okay, they must be doing something good for us. That's just like when they say that they're going to spray for the mosquitoes. You come out and you see your cars here, and because I've experienced it with this, powder residue or a tar-like residue on your car. So can you imagine, what we're breathing, and when the wind is going, just it's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
When they spray for the West Nile mosquitoes here, they usually do a little bit of announcement if you even catch it at all in the area, or somebody we know just kind of posted on Facebook or in other social media, to watch out in these certain areas that they're going to be spraying, within this time after sundown. And, I don't even go outside. Nope. I hear the plane come buzzing over the trees and I'm like, windows closed. Nope. Because, they say it's for the mosquitoes that carry the West Nile, but even that's even man-made,
But if that kills something, I mean, it could probably in good enough doses kill us too, or do some kind of harm. I can't see how any pesticides can be healthy for us to be breathing.
You got people probably have a little garden in their backyard and they're growing their own fruits and everything, or they have a fruit tree in their backyard and you got this stuff on it.
Right now you sprayed it. Yeah, I'm telling you, when it coats a car, I mean, it was crazy. And then remember that time when I told you there was like this black tar that was like all over all of the cars out there? It was crazy. It was just like it rained. I don't know, weird stuff going on. Well, Pat just pointed out, she said, is it's only the females that are supposed to bite? Well, you know what? To be absolutely honest, I have no idea. If that is the case, I guess then they don't have to worry about the males biting anybody with the bacteria. But they're just, I don't know, just I don't,
I knew a
something
few females
doesn't
that
seem
bit.
right.
No, not right now. I'm sorry,
Well,
that's
that's
what
what
it
she's
addresses.
saying. That's what she's saying. It is the females that bite, not the males. So we
No,
wouldn't have to be
I'm
worried
just
about
kidding. No, I'm
bitten by the bacterial infected males.
just kidding. Well, if you like to get bit, then, well, then
I don't, because I'll probably get the Zika virus. So you know me, I
Your
carry
final destination to get
yeah, I carry a can of
it.
any. Have you ever seen me without a can of repellent when we go on camping trips or out where there's going to be mosquitoes or bugs. I always got, in fact, last time I had toucans, just to be sure. I might have a citronella, you know, a lantern or a citronella candle. You never know what I might pull out of my bag.
But you have some interesting things that you pull out of your bag.
That's right. I got to stay safe. I have final destination luck.
You know,
that's why I don't need to be going and taking pictures on the side of a mountain. Not with my kind of luck.
Even a man can tell it. No.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see.
Okay, what do you got?
Here's some strange news. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about this. So, UCSA, Southern California has produced a sealant that is being pitched as a potential sight saver for soldiers inflicted with traumatic eye injuries and with battlefield shrapnel. It's hoping to be the hydrogel that could be used to prevent vision deterioration in other cases where full treatment is not immediately available. So this stopgap solution, which transforms from a fluid to a semi-solid when applied, can effectively plug lacerations to the eyeball, successfully trialed on rabbits. The gel was injected via syringe, and it was found to preserve the eyeball without inflammation or further damage, according to the medicine journal study that they did. And it says it's containing materials normally used in the retinal implants. The ocular sealant becomes liquid when cooled and a semi-solid adhesive when heated. It means the liquid binds when interacting with the body heat, and it can be easily removed through cool water. Due to its makeup, a special portable syringe with cooling calcium ammonium nitrate crystals was developed to enable use in tricky situations. The lead author of the research paper, Nikki Byatt of the USC Viterbi School, said that the liquid's first incarnation as an eye implant adhesive was not wholly suitable. Oh, that's not nice. So a good few tweaks needed to be made first. Poor bunny rabbit. Since the initial hydrogen's transition temperature was very close to the temperature of the human eye, we had modified its properties to ensure that it would form a solid seal as soon as the gel was applied to the eye by a soldier or, say, a medic. Providing a perfect yet reversible seal, the smart hydrogel shows promise for the next generation of tissue adhesives. So this is like a super glue. Like, I know that in some hospitals, they will use super glue to, like, close sutures instead of stitches. I know that,
it was used out in the battlefield.
Absolutely. And that's what I was about to say. And it's normally used out. That was a very common procedure or protocol to use a adhesive super glue, like things to close wounds. If somebody needed, you know, stitches that would, you know, close it up, things like that. But then they would always say, oh, but don't try that at home. You know, but having a super glue in your eye and then you got to put, you know, aluminum nitrate into your eyeball afterwards to cool it, to melt it, to take it out. Like, that's some RoboCop technology. I don't know that I'd want to go through all that. I mean, to save my eye.
Oh, God.
Just give me a patch. And call me one eye. And call me one eye.
Sure, I'll call you one eye, all right. It's like, hey, we know what you're going to be for next year for Halloween. You're going to be a pirate, man.
Mike's feeling alone in the chat room. We're over there playing on the website. So, all right, where are you going? What's the next?
Let me pull one out of here. You know, we think about people who've been to Mars before. We've had, you know, guests talked about that too, that they've been to Mars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and these are just like in just like these recent years. But what do you think about in 1894?
Wow. I heard about that. 1894. Yeah, that's a long ways back to be talking about Mars.
You know, so when you hear about, you know, people who claim to have done that back then, and you know, you would think that, what are they, like a science fiction writer, you know, like Jules Verne's kind of thing. But this is what some of the claims that turned to be, that, yeah, there was an actual visitation to Mars and making contact, as well as, you know, another ways of stepping into other worlds. So that's also, you know, they discovered that in Disclosed TV. And I was reading some of that and I'm going, you know, it sounds out there. But then again, there's a lot of things that we cover that does sound like it's out there, too. So I just have to say, I have to put that kind of like on the back burner and research more into that, of that story.
Well, and we always put it out there and let our listeners, you know, decide what they, you know, believe or not. And so this was supposed to be the surreal and fantastic tale of Mrs. Helene Smith, who was a medium back in the year of 1894. Now, imagine that, being a medium back then.
Could have been you, you know.
Let's not even say that. And she claimed that she visited the red planet Mars via visions when she was entering a trance-like state. So obviously maybe she was astral projecting. She said she met many alien entities on her journey and even stopped into unfamiliar worlds that were full of wonder and mystery. She drew how the Martian landscape looked like even back then when she was there. There was life. She drew and wrote about the strange life forms she encountered and how ancient the Martian civilization was. She also learned how to write and speak the language of the Martian civilization with several examples of its words put into paper back when she was alive. Now, you know, it's things like that, though, that make you wonder. Now, first of all, how in the world would she know a Martian language? And how would they, number two, how would the government or officials be able to discount the fact that she said she spoke Martian unless they actually know of the language?
Right. But like I said, it, you know, it sounds probable. And if she astral traveled there, and it's, I know she's definitely not the first.
Well, a lot of mediums also remote view places. I mean, we know that the military believes so much in that they had, you know, hired a whole team of psychics to remote view all kinds of locations and predict things that were coming. Some of the stuff that they predicted is came to be. A lot of it has not. So, I mean, she could be doing a lot of different things, but to be a medium and be public in a story about it from that far ago, that takes some guts.
Yeah, even for that time period, too. So, yeah, because like even now we have had several people, even on the show, you know, spoke different languages. Including myself. So could be very well. I want to look at that, her transcripts of the writings. I can check that out too and see if I can make anything out of it, because it just may have something that I may understand on there.
That'd be very interesting to find out. I mean, again, like I said, it's not like somebody coming out right now and saying, oh, they're a psychic medium and, you know, they were remote viewed or they astro traveled to Mars and this is what they saw. I mean, people may laugh, but, some people would actually believe them. Mm-hmm. But back in 1894, not so much. You'd probably get your ass tied to a stake and burnt up. and stuff like that. So, again, it would be a very dangerous story to put out, you know, during those times. So, again, you know, who knows?
Like I said, it might have been you.
No, let's not put it for me. That's okay.
You know, maybe you were her, and there's that. That would be horrible. Yeah. You speak in Martian.
Well, nobody's ever told me I spoke Martian. They may say I speak too much, but I'm never Martian. Maybe some Spanish?
No, you speak some Spanish.
Maybe some Italian, yeah, but not so much Martian.
Language like a sailor.
There you go.
So, you know, you've learned different languages from port to port, even Mars. So there's.
Hey, that's the way it goes. Like I say, it takes a very special kind of person to love me.
Well, you know, just saying, you know, when you talk about your precog and you remember being what looked like you're in a craft or something, maybe you were on Mars. Or
no, I was in a damn ship. I was not on no damn Mars. No red planet. Didn't see nothing like that. Saw the sun and I saw the Earth, and that for a quick second, and that was it. So, yeah, I'm sure it was not Mars.
Yeah, because they didn't want you to show you Mars yet.
Probably a good thing. I can only take so much information, you know, so quickly at one time.
Well,
they're gonna be nice.
What if you are part them out there? Well, yeah, I mean, just a question.
Well, what can I do? I mean, it is what it is. I don't.
I mean, wouldn't you want to know more and what that is? And
yeah, not necessarily.
I know. I'm done.
I'm good. I mean, that's you. Just I'm whatever I am. I you know. Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't need any special classes or kumbaya moments or.
Oh, come on! You can use a little kumbaya moment.
We are a family, or any like no. Just okay. It is what it is. Hey, you asked. It was just a question.
It was just a question. So
there you go. That was just an answer.
Yeah, that just was an answer. Okay, what do you got? what do you got now?
Oh, what do I got? All right, let me see. What do I have? Still Marsh. Stuck on yours. I had to find mine again. All right, let's talk about the post on Reddit that's gone viral that was brought to the attention of Chris Conley on the 12th of January of 2017, so the beginning of the year, and it talked about a guy who was having a drink with his boss who proceeded to tell him that it was a story about a UFO incident, and this incident came to be known as the North Michigan Strange Light Phenomena. So I'm not sure if anybody knows about this phenomena. I actually did not. Did you know about it, Renee?
I didn't know about it until I came across it today.
Yeah. All right, so large bright lights appeared in the sky over Glen Arbor, Michigan. And so at first the guy thought it was his boss joking around, but then he got serious and began to tell him a strange story. He said that when he had been driving along in his car some 20 years back in North Michigan, close to Glen Arbor, at about 2:30 a.m., his entire car had suddenly lit up, even though he was in the middle of nowhere. He said that the light was insanely bright and there was a shrieking type of sound that actually hurt his ears. The many had been out taking photographs of the region as he was a keen photographer and his camera was in the passenger seat of the car. At this point, he described getting out of the vehicle and seeing a strange craft that was hovering above him and remained there for what seemed to be a very long time. He says he then reaches into his car, he grabbed his camera, and he began to take photographs. At this point, the man went over to a filing cabinet and started rustling around in some folders. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, so, okay. A man captures photographs of the string light. So he then shows his friend the photographs at this point, and the hair rose up on the back of his neck, and his jaw dropped open as he realized his friend was not joking. The photographs seem to have come from a camera that is an older model than ones that are on the market today. The only images that were available for investigation were photographs that had been taken of the original photographs, and of course, this was not the best for analyzing. The photographs had been taken at nighttime, and they showed snow on the ground, so the temperature would have been cold. The photographs did not reveal if there were clouds around, if there were any other types of meteorological formation. However, they do show that the ground is very heavily illuminated, and this created almost complete coverage of the region. The light formation looks like pillars and what are rising up from the center of the area, which is illuminated. The lights seem to have a bluish tinge to it, and no animals, vehicles, or humans can be seen in the picture. And it shows the picture. And Renee, if you want to put up the link, you can do that too. There does seem to be a signpost in the lower right-hand side of the photo, which is seen on the opposite side of the road. And this could indicate that there was a side road leading off the main one. The strange lights do seem to be behind trees, but the distance cannot be judged by the person taking the photograph. The anonymous user had posted the photos to Reddit, who was said to be the co-worker of the person who actually witnessed the event. The date of the actual event is unknown, but it was said to have been taking place some 20 years previously. The photograph was analyzed and no craft was seen in the picture. What can be seen is that there appears to be a valley, and this is where the lights are coming from. The lights also seem to be hitting a small cloud or fog that is low-lying. Is it possible that the site may be a construction or fracking site, or could it be a city? The lights do seem like the light that a site or maybe a small town might make. And it says the pillar of lights could also be explained away by ice crystals or maybe light pillars. Light pillars are atmospheric optical phenomena that seems to extend below and above the light source. The effects come from the reflection of the light and many of the small ice crystals that are suspended in the clouds in the atmosphere. So what are you thinking, Renee, you know, about this?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty interesting what it looks like. And considering it was off of, you know, the photograph itself. So that, like you said, it's a little more difficult to analyze when it's like that. But it is rather interesting, and especially like when they're showing the one on the bottom, you know, showing what all these different colors. But it's, you know, I noticed ice crystals can do that with creating that kind of effect, you know, especially like if you're, you know, near the mountains or it's a cooler night, that'll actually create, you know, kind of like the ice pillars. But from that photo, from the original photo, it has a totally different effect.
Well, and the funny thing is this is not the first time that Michigan has had some strange phenomena happen like this as well. Back in January of this year, there was a woman in Michigan said she was driving to work when she had to pull over to take a picture of a breathtaking sunrise. And then she saw the sunrise. She knew that she had to take a picture of it and that it was going to go viral. What she shared was a picture that shows a cross on the horizon. And with the local news meteorologist, Matt Rutkin, according to this lady, she didn't notice the cross until after she took the photo. But it, if you can see it, it's like a huge one. I put the link in the chat room, but definitely looks that way. And so the news, nightly news, the NBC nightly news said this photo was taken in Buchanan, Michigan. It's gone viral after photographer Michelle Loroff noted that she took the pic because of the beaming coming straight up off the sun during the sunrise. Later, she noticed the glowing cross in the clouds and shared the photo on Facebook. But, you know, so again, there are all kinds of interesting anomalies that happen in that area. But again, it was during January. It's during when there's snow. So maybe that has something to do with it. You know, who knows? Yeah. But definitely interesting.
Yeah, because that one looks a little bit different. It looked like there's even another portion of the cross just kind of above the cloud, but above the cross kind of, yeah. So it's really hard to say, you know, the lighting is, I don't know, seems a lot different than that other one. So that one's really hard to say because, yeah, wow.
Well, we've got about 8 minutes left, or actually we got 3 minutes left because we have our good friend Frank Zero from the farm coming up next. So for all of our listeners, we'd ask you to stick around and support Frank. And he has a great show, talks about a lot of the same topics that we do. So we always like to encourage our listeners to check out the other shows on the network. We got all kinds of interesting ones. So I guess since we only have 2 more minutes left, let me pull up our lineup.
Yeah, who do you got Monday?
Let me grab it. For the calendar, I would guess. That would be the place it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so you can put your dates down.
Yeah, I guess the computer over here has got the itis now. You sent over the web issues over here. It's going slow as molasses.
And mine is running fine now. Your turn.
Oh, okay. Okay. What's going on? We gotta go to the month. They changed the way it looks. Never fails.
Yep. It looks different now.
All right. So Monday I'm supposed to have Brandon Alvis on the show. I'm not sure that he will be here. I know that he lives out in the Los Angeles area, and he had to be evacuated because his house was in the evacuation area. So I know he's in Bakersfield now until the fires are out. But I did see a post from him today saying that he got good news that their house is still standing. So they do have you know, a house to go back to. So we're glad to hear that. So I'm going to reach out to him and see if, you know, if he's going to be able to do the show. If not, we will, believe me, I will always find an interesting topic for us to talk about if not. So no worries there. All right, everyone. Well, we got to get out of here again. Stick around for Frank Zero from the farm on the UPRN Talk Radio Network 107.7 out of New Orleans, and you've been listening to Top Secret News Radio Show. See you next week. Good night, everyone.